long and healthy life.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another week here on America Tonight. Boy, do we have a lot to tackle. Just like the fools in Washington, oh, the clock is ticking, 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 ticking on a couple of things, including what's going to happen with this payroll tax cut. Will it be extended or will it be thrown in the trash? And that's to be determined. In fact, there's a big vote coming up on Tuesday. Lots of flaws, ladies and gentlemen, but I know you know all about that, right? Because we've talked about it ad nauseum. Bottom line is this, you might be one of the 160 million Americans who could really use a little bit of that dough, and now you're used to it because you don't think about it. It was a small amount in a check, but then if suddenly it's not there, that extra 50 bucks, 35 bucks, whatever it adds up to be, you might miss it. How much more food could you get at the store? How many more dollar videos could you rent from Blockbuster? Or how much more gas can you put into your car? Got to look at it that way, right? Big, big, big things happening, too, on Tuesday. Besides that, besides the another vote, another question, the Sandusky deal will happen. And you know his name. I don't even have to say his first name, right? Usually when we say someone's name like a Cher, a Madonna, Clooney, whatever, it's because they're famous. And usually they're celebrities, right? In the case of Sandusky, he is, in the court of public opinion, the most vilified man in America right now, and with good reason, because I'm right there with you. I agree in the right to a fair trial and innocent until proven guilty. But boy, there is mounting evidence. I think I gotta go with. I would be stunned if he's not put away for a very, very long time. What's interesting in the case of Sandusky is that during this trial, I'm not going to call it trial, I'll call it the accusers, you know, the witnesses coming forward. It's a trial, the preliminary stuff. Listening to the descriptions of what happened, which will be pretty tough, and of course those details are going to come out, and that's all you're going to be hearing about, by the way, throughout the day. Nobody can actually record, it's not going to be a television in the courtroom, but the judge met with all of the major networks and is allowing tweeting and all that stuff. So while some of the testimony is coming out, you can be guaranteed that it'll be tweeted out all over the place as to what is being said. And I can only imagine it will dominate. It will dominate what goes on, I think, in a lot of these networks throughout the day, because now there'll be some details that weren't really revealed before. Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan recuses herself from a very big, 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 big moment with the Supremes having to do with Arizona. Do you believe it's come full circle finally? At the Arizona immigration law. Governor Jan Brewer had plenty to say about what could happen here and why this is so important.
I'm feeling very positive and very confident. I'm hoping that they will rule in favor of Arizona. I don't think the people of Arizona are going to be satisfied until the federal government steps up and does their job. I had three criteria at that time. I still believe in that three criteria, that it had to work, that it had to be constitutional, and that it had to protect civil rights. And I think that Senate Bill 1070 does that.
All right, Senate Bill 1070, she said it. Think about it. It was a couple of years ago when the controversy kicked up, when shockingly to me, one of our worst moments ever is the fact that you had the Mexican president, Felipe Calderon, who stood to address both chambers and mocked Arizona and said, for people not to go to Arizona, to say that it was wrong, that it was racist what was happening. And I thought, you know what? We do not care, no matter what anyone thinks about the proposed law that became massive controversy. It's our country. I do not care what Calderon thinks about what's happening in Arizona. Because guess what? He is not ponying up the money to help the people who have had to deal with the aftermath of what illegal immigration has done to some of those towns. He's not paying for the overflow of the bodies at the morgue or the, did you know this, chilled trucks that they often have to stack up the bodies, which is so sad anyway, of the John and Jane Does who end up dead in the desert because they don't make it all the way in. They're killed, they're raped, they're whatever. They're left behind after they paid however much money to somebody from their own country to rip them off. And at the heart of this law, and the governor said it, what she believed had to work for her, was it constitutional? That's what's being challenged here in asking somebody when they're pulled in for something by a police officer, by a law enforcement type person, sheriff's deputy, when it's legitimate. I mean, not running around trying to find people, but when they've been stopped for something, when something is happening, asked to see their citizenship. Why is that so difficult to understand? And what many people are saying, many Latinos are saying, is that it's just a way to pick off illegal people, to look at the way they're dressed and make assumptions and figure out a way to address them and get them out. And I don't think that was the intent. I don't think that was the intent at all. I think the idea was, okay, why wouldn't you ask? I mean, think about this. Are you asked for ID when you're stopped for something? Of course you are. How many forms of identification have I had to lay out in front of somebody, from passport to birth certificate to driver's license, for a slew of different things? Opening a bank account. I don't get it. And then I walk into the Bank of America, and I swear, people walk in with bags of money, and they are not showing identification, but I'm asked constantly for forms of IDs. So I'm thinking, something's wrong here. I don't understand. But it's going to be up to the Supreme Court to make the ultimate decision on whether or not it's constitutional or not constitutional. And this is a big one. I mean, this could be a split thing. This could go in the opposite direction. Kagan's out, so that takes what would have been, since she was involved as the Solicitor General when this was going on, this takes out one vote. I'm sure that it's unconstitutional. I would think she would have gone that way. I could be wrong, and we'll see what happens with Jan Brewer, whether or not she's celebrating all of this work of pushing this forward and fighting it, instead of saying, okay, well, the Fed shut us down, we're going to let it slip away, but fighting and trying to say, no, you're not going to do anything at the federal level. You're not helping us. You're not paying us the money for all that we have lost in this state. So we're going to keep fighting it. And this is the ultimate test here, all the way up to the Supreme Court, win, lose, or draw. What do you think? 800-259-5791.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Nick Wadena with Midas Resources. If you have an IRA or 401k, did you know you can turn that nest egg into a physical gold and silver nest egg? Do you know what kind of specific precious metals are allowed by law to be in retirement accounts? Did you know that you can take physical delivery of these precious metals? Would you like to know more? It's a fact. Stocks and mutual funds have been a wild ride, and many people's retirement funds have taken large hits. If you put $100,000 in gold in January of 2009, it would be worth over $200,000 today. If you put $100,000 in silver, then it would be worth over $300,000 today. As bailouts for banks and the seemingly endless printing of money continues worldwide, the value of the dollar could decline further, in turn possibly pushing gold and silver much, much higher. Protect what you work so hard for. Call me, Nick Wadena, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343, and learn what your options are. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 343. Once again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. So as I said, a couple of interesting things going on in courtrooms. The Supreme Court to hear that Arizona immigration law. I mean, this is a blockbuster one when you think about the election year, of course. And that's been added. So they're going to review it. And you've got justices that said they'd rather that said they'd review whether Arizona legislators went too far when they added immigration enforcement to local law enforcement duties. So now, check it out. We'll drill it down for you. This is it in a nutshell. The court's decision means that the justices will be pretty much on at least, it's going to be incendiary, let's face it, on two political issues where you've got congressional campaigns heating up and especially presidential campaigns heating up. I mean, this is a major immigration decision that certainly would affect federal and states, the balance of power, in other words. And this is a monumental decision, absolutely. Remember, because now you have the health care, the individual mandate, that's giant, and that's going to happen by June. Now you've got this one. And, of course, the Arizona law specifically would require that any officer, sheriff's deputies, whoever, make a reasonable attempt to check the immigration status of somebody that they stopped and who they think they have a reasonable suspicion of being in the United States illegally. So they'd have to check the status when they arrested somebody before they're released. But the key legal question, forget the politics of it. This is just how the Supreme Court is going to look at it. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Like they have absolutely, they're totally clear. It's all about the letter of the law. They're completely objective. Well, the chief question, though, is whether Arizona's law infringes on the federal responsibility for handling border security and immigration. What do you think they're going to do? Well, clearly Arizona has tried to be cooperative. They were trying to be cooperative. But the bottom line is they're drowning in problems. And this is why this was pushed out. This is why this was discussed. This is why it went all the way to the governor and she didn't veto it. Because she tried to look at it through advisors, through different eyes of what it meant. And remember, San Francisco's 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the 9th Court, blocked the provision from kicking in. Uh-huh. Well, this is two big ones. Huge. And Elena Kagan, as I said, the justice recused herself from it because of what she was doing in Obama's administration as the Solicitor General. They were working on challenging the Arizona law, and she was part of that. So only 8 justices, which throws it off, right? 8 justices are considering this case. If the 8 remaining justices tie at 4, the lower appellate court's ruling is upheld. So that means Arizona would lose. And they think that the oral arguments will probably be held by April. So this hot potato comes up first, and then the individual mandate, the constitutionality of the health care law, that part of it that's supposed to kick in, that will go before the justices probably May, June. By June, I would say something would come out of that. Could it be any thicker for the people who are running? Ooh! All right, let's see. Let's go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Yeah, hi. First, I'd like to say, go Denver Broncos. I think Denver is going to win the Super Bowl this year, right? He's my boy.
I think Green Bay is going to win. But you know what? I like the story of Denver, I have to say. I think it's funny. I think it's great that Tebow is getting all this publicity. And, you know, he's not a world beater, but they're winning when they need to win. That's all that matters.
Well, anyway, I just heard that the star of Two Men and a Half with Charlie Sheen, you know, he's got a new sitcom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? I would put an extra consonant in after the S in sitcom, but I won't say the word. But you know, it's called Anger Management, right?
Anger Management, yeah.
Yeah, this is a blatant attack against the Republican Party. Who is portrayed in the USA as being angry all the time? Angry white men, right? The Republican
right.
Party is the party of angry white men. You know,
right.
I'm not angry. I have a lame sense of humor, but I have a sense of humor. I'm not angry. I'm interested in things. But this is an attack against the Republican Party, right? This sitcom.
Yes.
Anger Management.
Anyways, I think it's funny, but yes, you're right. Anyway, who is portrayed as angry? Yes, white men in America.
Well, it's an implied. I mean, in so many words, they're attacking the. They're
yeah.
implying that the Republican
yeah.
Party is evil. It's not direct. It's not explicit, but it's implicit. Anyways, I got a prediction for the war of 2012. The election campaign. My prediction is the Republican Party is going to. I'm not interfering. I'm not telling Americans. I'm not telling you Americans what to do. You're a lot smarter than I am. But my prediction is because Republicans in the White House and the House and Senate are good for Canada. And also, I heard a good joke today. President Obama is having so much success in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Yemen fighting Muslim terrorists using drones. He's going to fight next fall's election using drones. He's going to have about 500 drones going all over America with loudspeakers, you know, giving this hope and change and all this crap about hope and change and dropping pamphlets. He's going to stay in the White House and fight the campaign using drones.
He's got $1 billion, thanks, Al, to help pay for that war chest that he's amassing, super PACs, Goldman Sachs, $35,000 a plate, 20 of the special people. Mark in New York.
Yeah, hi, Kate. I'm going to call you for the next 3 nights if I could because I changed my hours around. I got a lot of energy here. So how you been, all right?
I've been good. How about you?
Good. How's Jersey Jackie? You ever hear from her anymore?
She's doing good. She works at a local radio station in Texas, and she's doing well.
All right, you tell her I love her. I still love her.
I will.
Let me just really quick. I can't speak for Governor Brewer in Arizona, but let me just tell you a personal story. In a little town that I live in called Porchester, it's in New York. For 140 years, I told you a story before, but it bears repeating. We had at-large voting system. The Hispanic groups got together with the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Justice Department, which this lawsuit started under Bush, but it was proceeded under Obama. We had to change our voting system from an at-large system to a cumulative, where you get to vote for more than one or two people. It actually made Fox News, and a Weekly Standard wrote a five-page article about it. I can't find it. But the gist at the end of the article was basically, how much of your culture are you willing to change simply because of unrestrained immigration? You know, people come here, they don't feel like they're represented, so you have to change your voting system. The Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, I hope I'm getting this right, Cayuga County in Ohio, didn't have enough ballots in Spanish, but their Hispanic population was so minuscule, but they forced them to change the ballots, put the ballots in all these different languages. And Cayuga simply said they folded and so did my town, because they felt that it wouldn't pay. It would cost $1 million or more to fight the Justice Department. Your tax dollars go to fight American cities and states to encourage immigration policies that this administration wants. The point being is they know what's best for their state. They're trying to get a handle on the costs of everything that's going on with illegal immigration. And I know it's an Achilles heel of the Republicans. They say that with the voter fraud and everything else, that they're going to lose the election because of the Latino turnout. But when does a country say enough is enough? The language is being destroyed. The culture is being destroyed. It's not wrong to just want to defend these things. And that's why, in a roundabout way, the Federal Appeals Court and the Ninth Circuit, the federal judgeships that Obama fills, and the Supreme Court that he fills, he wants to put people in that want to circumvent our laws as they are, or just stop them and destroy the country. And I know destroy is a powerful word, mm-hmm. but it's the truth. This election has consequences. Now, whether or not someone else like a Gingrich or a Romney would be any better, because they could appoint someone like David Souter to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And he was no flaming conservative.
No.
The point is, we want to defend states and the country. It's a states'
yes.
rights issue.
Yes.
And they don't give a damn. They keep going against us. When I was a kid, my buddy worked in a bakery here, and he would run in as a joke, and he'd say, immigration, and all illegals, this was back in the early 1980s, they would run out the back door. They don't do that anymore. They have a foothold here, and it sounds extreme, but they're taking over. And people say, you would laugh because, you're worried about the brown-skinned people. I'm worried about my country as it once was. Thanks, Ben.
All right. There are a lot of different things we could talk about with illegal immigration, the problems that have been in some areas that it's created. And Mark is right. Before, that used to be funny. I mean, it was terrible that they were doing that. But now nobody bats an eye. All right. We're going from one hot potato to the other. Dr. Brooks talking about health care.
As we age, we lose both strength and muscle mass. Undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows is nature's most powerful food to gain back lost muscle. Virtually all whey protein powders or drinks have been damaged during processing or are high in sugar. This damaged whey causes a significant loss in the ability of the body to build new muscle proteins. The high sugar content will stop all the benefits of your growth hormone from causing muscle repair. By giving your body easily absorbed, undamaged whey, free of added sugar, you may be able to gain back lost muscle and strength. One World Whey is truly undamaged whey protein powder free of added sugar. Both young and elderly are reporting increases in muscle strength and size without any additional exercise. Go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com to read or hear some impressive testimonies to this effect. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. We've talked about this for a very long time. Healthcare, where healthcare is, why people aren't paying attention to what the real symptoms are. And now, here we are, folks. We know this. Key parts of the new law are going to kick into effect on January 1st. But what does that mean for you? This massive overhaul of healthcare approved by Congress. And as we know, now getting kicked, the individual mandate, getting kicked to the Supreme Court, which probably, I was talking to someone in D.C. today, it's looking like most likely June, maybe they're going to look at this, or right before June, and this is all in time for the election. So who better to have on the show than Dr. Mitchell Brooks to talk about that? He's very passionate about what's happening in healthcare and about your health, things that people just are not paying attention to, namely some of these politicians. Hey, Dr. Brooks, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight again.
You're welcome, Kate. Thanks for having me.
You are very passionate about this. The last time you came on, we had such a great discussion, and there were a lot of people that responded to it because we've talked about this. We've gone to Washington. We've looked at this from all angles. And the thing that, you know, people keep coming back to, I think, are doctors. And certainly you and I have had this discussion on the air and off the air. What's the key thing, and I know there are several, that bugs you the most about what's happening with healthcare in the United States?
Well, we don't have all night, do we?
We wish, yeah.
The key thing. Well, it's interesting. There are several things, but I think what it boils down to is that the relationship portion of the doctor-patient relationship is going to change dramatically and drastically. And as you know, there was a very seminal piece in today's Wall Street Journal in the marketplace section. It actually occupied 2.5 pages of the Wall Street Journal, called The Future of U.S. Healthcare. And it's something about which I've been writing since 1993. There are no surprises here. But one of the things that struck me, Kate, was this particular paragraph under the heading Getting the Doctors on Board. Ultimately, the success or failure of efforts to change the healthcare system may hinge largely on doctors, and then they use an example. And they talk about family practice and the delivery of healthcare at the primary care level. And really what it hinges on are all doctors. And if you break healthcare down into its constituent parts, it's a pretty simple thing. You have a delivery system, you have a factory, and you have a product. The delivery system, or the workers, are the physicians, the nurses, and the people who participate in healthcare. They've been dumbed down under the term provider. A doctor is no longer a doctor. He or she is a provider. So that's kind of the first step in liquidating the physician's brand equity. The second part of the equation is the factory. Hospitals are factories. This is where we do things. This is where the product is created. And the third part of the equation are the results. What is it that we're doing? What are the results of what we're doing? And how much does it cost over a period of time? And if you can control the workers and you can control the factory, then you control the results and you control $2.7 trillion or 17 or 18% of the gross national product. And this is what's happening today, and it's happening very quietly, and this is what bugs me more than anything else. And it will affect the doctor-patient relationship, it will affect pricing, and it will affect how healthcare is delivered.
Yeah, and powerful stuff what you just said. And to that end, most people, I mean, a lot of doctors have been driven out already. Most doctors are going to want cold cash, aren't they?
Well, what's happening is that the doctors who are in their mid-50s to early 60s are basically selling their practices to hospital systems. And this is the thing about which I'm speaking. This is the danger. Because if the hospital systems own the physicians, and the idea is that if you change the paradigm by buying the physicians, which is what's happening, hospitals are buying physicians, some insurance companies are buying physicians, then what happens is that the norm becomes that people, when they come out of medical school and out of their residency and fellowship programs, when they go into practice, they're really going to go and look for a job and be employed by a hospital system. This is the goal. And these hospital systems are consolidating, and they're essentially forming what I call a healthcare delivery nexus. And what's going to happen is that they will control the physicians that you see, and they will control the actual place of production or the hospital. Well, if they do that, they essentially monopolize the product. So they have tremendous leverage over pricing, over the insurance companies. And what the government will do is they'll say, see, this is just another example of why we need a single-payer system, which is not another example of why. But this is the danger. The danger is that this consolidation is going to put power into the hands of few people, and those interests of those few people are not necessarily going to be the interests of the patient who is the end user or the payer who is either the patient who is paying the bill or the company for whom the patient works who's paying the bill. One of the biggest canards out there is that the insurance companies are the payers. The insurance companies aren't the payers. You're the payer. I'm the payer. Your employer is the payer. The insurance companies are merely paper pushers and people who try and crunch out as much as they can with respect to profit in the healthcare system. And there's been no incentive for them to hold the cost of premiums down because there's been no incentive for the American public to control their health, to control what they eat, to control what they do. Nobody has skin in the game.
Yeah, I like that expression, skin in the game. And you have seen this before because you practice in Ontario, Canada, and Great Britain, and then even in Massachusetts. And looking at what happened there, what did you see, a mess?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly there are things about each system that are very positive. You can't apply a uniform term to a system or a place. The system in Ontario is good. It provides very good basic health care for people. And instead of having a single payer system, which would be disastrous for this country. We're not Ontario. We don't have a homogenous group of people. We have a diverse group of people, and we kill more people every year with knives and guns and automobile accidents than they do in the entire country of Canada. So in terms of the amount of trauma that they see in a whole country. So it's an apples to oranges comparison, but what they do well in Canada is administrative costs. We pay four times as much to push paper in this country as they do in Canada. If we had a single system of payment as they do in Canada, we could probably save between $100 and $200 billion a year in our healthcare costs. That's a very simple thing to do. And it doesn't cost anything to do out of the taxpayer's pocket. So this is one of the things we can take away that's positive. Again, good primary care is delivered, although there is a shortage of physicians in Ontario and in Great Britain. They don't do the complex things well in terms of availability. They certainly do them well in terms of the physician skill level. The skill level in Canada and Great Britain is very high. But the terms of availability of the procedures, of the number of physicians to perform these complex procedures, the number of equipment and the type of equipment necessary, it's not there. The largest concentration of MRI machines per capita in the United States is located in Buffalo, New York, and there's a good reason for that, because anybody in Ontario who needs an MRI will drive to Buffalo.
Wow. Boy, proof is in the pudding. No kidding. And we started off and you were talking about, and I will put a link on this, by the way, on AmericaTonight.net, but Ann Matthews, Wall Street Journal piece, The Future of American Healthcare, as Dr. Brooks said.
Yeah, it's a brilliant piece.
It
should be read by everybody. And, you know, between the lines, there's that hidden danger of consolidation of power in the hands of too few people. And there, you know, they can paint as nice a picture as they want on it. Once you start centralizing the cost of health care, you're going to have basically an HMO on steroids, and that's essentially what Anna Matthews has written about, and that's what we're going to have. No one's going to spend time with you because no one can afford to spend time with you, and you will likely be seen by a physician extender than you will by a real doctor. And if you are seen by a real doctor, it'll be what I call a drive-by visit, and it's going to be very unsatisfactory, but hey, it's for free, right?
Yeah. Do you think, ultimately, Doc, do you understand why the politicians aren't listening? Why didn't they talk to more doctors? I mean, I know you went on the Hill. You went up to the Hill. You spoke to some people. I know some other doctors that did, but they came away very frustrated.
I provided documents and testimony here in Dallas.
Yeah.
I wasn't physically in Washington.
Yeah.
But the reason is because we don't have political power. Physicians don't give large amounts of money to PACs. And the politicians are not interested in fact. They're interested in stories. They're interested in solving a problem from a political perspective top down and not bottom up. And you can't solve a problem like healthcare with a political imprimatur. It turns out to be a disaster. I mean, you know, everyone says, look at the post office, look at anything the government touches. And as you say, the proof of the pudding. I mean, government, by definition, is a cumbersome, bulky thing. And it's a camel that was designed by a committee of people who were set out to design a horse. And that's what government is. It's a big waste of money, and it's a huge insider trading scam, as we're now coming to find out.
Oh, yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth. You hit our hot button, certainly, here on the show. If you want to call in, 800-259-5791, we're going to be talking about this. Dr. Brooks, as always, opinionated, right on the money, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kate. Have a great holiday, and Merry Christmas to everybody, and a Happy New Year.
You too.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water, with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say that you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.
My friends, if only that was true, that old Beatles lyric. Unfortunately, it takes a little bit more than that, especially in some of these circumstances. Jerry Sandusky, he's not getting any love from most people who are familiar with his story. Big hearing on Tuesday, and it will be live. In other words, not televised on the tube, but reporters will be able to Twitter out, send emails, all that kind of stuff. And trust me, there's going to be a slew of that happening, because you've got this Penn State former assistant coach who brought down the house at Happy Valley. He turned Happy into a frown because he had that second mile charity since the 70s, And he's facing now 52 charges that he sexually abused 10 boys. The number keeps going up between 94 and 2009. So now in this preliminary hearing, this is where you first get a sense of what's going to be presented from the two sides. Because you've got evidence and questions with the witnesses. I think the thing that's going to be interesting is to see what ultimately happens where the judge who presides over the hearing, you know, says basically that the case is going to be bound over to trial court, and I can't imagine that it won't, but this is one of the things that we do in our legal system. Sandusky is the guy who, you know, was the defensive coordinator of the Lions forever and a day. And like I said, then he founded that charity, and it was just a funnel for him. Sorry. I know, innocent until proven guilty. But this is going to be a wild circus outside of this Center County Courthouse in Pennsylvania, in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. And, you know, they've got 100 seats. Check this out. They got 100 seats reserved for the media. And the court had a lottery last week, a lottery. 1,339 people applied to it to figure out who in the public would get the remaining seats, because in this courthouse they only have 200 seats. And they've got a satellite courtroom where you can also see the video transmission, but it's not going live other than the tweets and all that kind of stuff, as I said. Ooh, court of public opinion. Can't imagine. And sad. It'll be sad to hear some of those details. I am so certain of it. All right, we've talked about a lot of different things this hour, including Jan Brewer and the Arizona immigration law. That's huge. That's another big shoe to drop in a big election year, which will happen in the spring. Same thing with the healthcare law that we just talked about. The individual mandate, I think, is super, super big. But the healthcare is such a mess, and there's so many things that have not already been spelled out. We're going to Washington in January, and we'll flush out some more details of what's happening and what's not happening in D.C. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Let's go to Andrew in Texas. Hello.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. I was just listening to the show. I don't get a chance to listen all the time, but when I do get a chance to listen, I try to call just a little while ago. And, you know, there's that the new program's kicking in January 1st. I guess for starters, I should say that I'm a Latino. I'm third generation from over South America.
Yeah,
but I'm American, and I went to school here. I'm fluent in four different languages, though. Sometimes that can be intimidating to some people, though. But I've acclimated well because I've lived in South America too before. I speak English very well. Well, I'm not great at it, but I'm pretty good at it. But my point is that I was listening to Doc, and you know, money's always the bottom line in this country because, you know, I've done a little bit of traveling, and we do live in a capitalistic society, which is great. You know, everybody, and that's what's one of the good points of America, I think. You know, I was watching our program. I don't know. Have you ever seen the Frontline documentary called Sick Around the World?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It's very good.
What did you think about it?
Oh, I thought they made some excellent point that people aren't, when in ranking, especially in looking at where we are in America with our health care compared to some other nations, I think because we've done a ton of things on this show about it and comparing what they did with Frontline, I think there's still so much, Andrew, that people don't realize what's happened in America, how everything's, we've had this great collapse. And I, while the doc didn't put much on insurance, I put a lot of this squarely on insurance and the fact that why don't we have the competition where you can erase the state lines? That's part of it. You know, when they're free to just jack up these premiums all over the place and charge, in the hospitals, charge crazy amounts of money for, like, I have a friend in the hospital now that's been there for 6 weeks And what were they charging? The aspirin thing always comes up, but it was something else. It was a heartburn deal, like a regular over-the-counter heartburn pill thing. And they were charging a crazy amount of money for it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, you know, the doc was right that there's a big bureaucracy which equates to millions of dollars lost that could be thrown back into the healthcare system and maybe go to the doctors. I just feel that, and greed, of course, is part of it. And the way our system is just structured, of course, they have to have malpractice insurance and things like that. But, in order for it to work, what was Frontline saying that everybody has to be in it to charge the same price for all the procedures across the board instead of one hospital charging 200% more than maybe another hospital and things like that. But we have a lot of work to do, of course, with that. But, you know, I see, I work for the government and then I work for city government and then I also have I'm a contractor also part-time. And I see the people where I work at, the contractor's job, my part-time job, that there are a lot of full-timers there, and they have no insurance. And I feel so bad for them. And
I
just
know.
They work hard, and I feel for God-given right, if they're working like that, they should have an opportunity to be covered. And I was sitting down, as a matter of fact, just a little while ago with one of them and having a bite to eat, and he said that he just threw something out at me, and he said, you know, why doesn't this country maybe offer things like more health clubs? Maybe the employers pay for their health clubs, because then he was talking about obesity, how it's associated with almost every ailment, and maybe we should offer people education and health clubs and
wellness,
I mean, I could go on, like the doctor, you don't have all night, but I just feel that we need to open up not only our minds, but our hearts, too, to people who are actually working very hard out in this world, and let them have an opportunity, too, to keep their health up and things and be fair about it.
There's a better way to do it. Let me ask you this. You know, you said you're a Latino. I used to be married to a Cuban-American, and I spent a lot of time in South America, and his family hated the illegal situation because they had to kill themselves to get here legally, and all the hoops that they had to jump through. Where do you stand on all of that?
I knew that question was coming, Jake.
Well, I'm saying it was in my world. I'm saying, you know, we're going to have to look. We're up against it. But you know,
sure.
What? It is a tough question because I've seen all sides of that. I've seen it from all sides. I lived in Spain. I traveled in South America. And I've had people call this show and say, listen, my family had to wait in line. My family killed themselves to get here, and I'm a proud Latino, and I don't like to be lumped in, and I don't think it's right. That's why I'm saying, thanks so much for the call. That's why I'm saying it's such a tough thing to tackle, and now here it comes down the pike with the Supreme Court. Could have an effect on this upcoming election.